I am endeavoring to do something very different, and I've definitely felt, first of all, directed toward this particular series, and then convicted that, yes, that's what I should do, and I shouldn't avoid doing it. And so we'll give it a try. On one side of your handout, I've never done a handout before like this. And I asked Danae last night, I said, do you think I should put the whole outline of the series on the one side? She goes, well, it looks overwhelming. But I did it anyhow, so I apologize if it's overwhelming. And the seminar is called Finding and Following God's Call. And it's a seminar that Dan and I were at a number of years ago by Boyd Hopkins, Boyd who is here in fall. And I've never done a sermon series based on a seminar, so I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. And yet I feel like the material is good enough that it's going to be very relevant for us. I've also never spoken off of an outline where there's actual blanks to fill in, so if I miss one, just yell at me and I'll try to go back and catch up, and that'll be all right. In the Western Development Museum in Saskatoon, there's an area that has cars, old cars. There's even an old tractor they used for tractor pulls with a twin turbo. And there's an old car, and I can't honestly tell you what it was. I want to say it was a Chevy, but I don't know. But what they have done is it's an old car that they took the motor out of from the 20s. They took the motor of it out of it in the 30s. And what they would do is, because in the 30s, nobody had fuel for or money for fuel. And so what they would do is they would hook it up to horses and pull this car around. And you probably know what that's called. Does anybody? Bennett buggy. And I looked up some pictures, and there was something similar in the States, it looked like. It had a different name, however. The Bennett buggy. And I got thinking about this in connection to what is our call? What is our purpose? And sometimes I think we feel like this Bennett buggy. We're making things work. We're getting places, but it's not working the way it was designed to work. Bennett buggy was designed to drive under the power of fuel, not to be pulled by horses. It was designed to pull things if it needed to, not to be pulled. And sometimes it feels a little like us. We have a call. We have a purpose to our life. What does that look like? How do we follow that call? Many of you also know that we have a new puppy on our yard. This puppy is called Kenzie. There's other names that might have been more appropriate. It's half Border Collie, half Great Pyrenees, and I told that to Carl, and Carl goes, oh, that's going to be a confused dog. I said, oh, apparently they're quite smart and teachable, you know, everything. I think it's a confused dog. I said, it's not going to know whether it should chase something or guard it. And so what it'll do is it'll chase the cat. Sometimes it'll, like it's a puppy, so it'll nip on them and terrorize them. But sometimes it'll run around them and just sit and watch. Because, I don't know, and then the cat tries to move and it'll herd it back. And it anyway, what we've discovered, though, is actually she is very teachable. She's a very smart dog, I should say, but stubborn. And we've seen that even a couple little things where you'll teach her something and she'll get it, and the second time you get her to do it or the third time, she'll just go, no, that's good. I'm done now. And maybe that's a bit puppy-ish, I don't know. This is kind of the first dog we've ever tried to train. But you realize that the issue isn't a matter of ability. It's not a matter of knowing, it's not a matter of knowledge, but a matter of willingness to submit, willingness to do what we ask her to do. And we're often much the same. The issue isn't a matter of ability and often not even a matter of personal willpower, but one of willingness to surrender and to submit. James 4 is a very similar passage to what Adele read. James 4, starting at verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That scares me. I don't like to be in opposition to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The first aspect of understanding that we're called, or the first step in the process of what we're called to, really has to do with this issue of surrender. Will we or won't we? And if we're walking in pride, we want to do it our way, we want to do our own thing. The Bible says God will resist us. He opposes us. He doesn't merely resist, but he opposes. He puts himself in opposition to us, or we put ourselves in opposition to him. As we walk in humility, God grants power. He grants provision for doing what he asks us to do. Acts 13, verse 22 is talking about David. And Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to a synagogue. But he says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testifies concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I read that and I went, whoa. He doesn't say that David will never fail. He doesn't say that David will be perfect. He doesn't say that he will be a better king than all the rest. What he says is, he will do everything I want him to do. Our call is not to success. When I first heard that, I don't know. You know, I think we want to succeed in what we... Our call is not to success. It's not to build a bigger kingdom. It's not to impress the Lord with how spiritual we are, or how spiritual we can be, or how we pray, or how much scripture we know, or how strong we are. Our call is to surrender so deeply to the Lordship of Christ that obedience is the result, that we do simply what he asks us to do. Mary, when the angel came to her, her response was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I've looked at that, and I know others have pointed it out, and just went, wow. Lord, do what you want to do. And I don't know. Okay, I'll speak for myself. I complicate it. My first step is obedience. My second one is, hey, that went good. I'm going to do the same thing again, and I'm going to impress God. Or I'm going to impress so-and-so. Or I'm going to worry about what people think. And I walk down this funny path that leads to this performance mentality. And if it doesn't go good, oh, what did I say that was wrong? What did I do? You know, they looked at me funny when I said this. You go home after being involved in something, Lord, was I faithful? Well, yeah. But you know, Wes, there's a bit of this in there, and you need to bring that to me. So our call is not to success. It's to surrender. It's not to perform. It's to humility. Our call is to humility, not to pride. And I think that involves fulfillment instead of disillusionment. The more we try to perform, we try to do something for him, there's a sense of, it's not working. And you hear from people who have built their kingdom, their earthly kingdom, and they've got everything that they need. And they're disillusioned. What now? What do I do? Hollywood stars, businessmen, because they focused on performance, not simply walking with the Lord and doing what he says. So I'm going to draw something and kind of try to write it. And I apologize for my writing. And some of you have seen this before. I had to see it about 10 times before it finally started to click. And it kind of forms a lot of what Boyd talks about. And it's Mark 1:15. And Mark 1:15 says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. And it forms kind of the basis of this surrender process. And so repent. Repent of what? Repent when we try to impress God, when it's all about us and it's not about him, is the core of what we often have to go, Lord, I made it about me. Whatever the issue is in our life, you can almost always guarantee it's been all about me rather than about him. And this involves two things. One is to confess. Confess, which is simply to say, Lord, I understand this to be sin. I blew it. I get it. It was wrong. And we may come across this again in the future. Confess. Renounce. Everything that hinders what God has for us to do, there is, I mean, we can call it sin. Sin is all about us. To every sin, though, there is a benefit. And that was a new thought to me when I first heard it. You say, I don't know. Benefit of anger is that we feel like we're in control. What are some others that are tough to kind of see? The benefit of... help me out here. Give me some sins. I didn't write any out. The benefit of lying is to be somewhat similar in control. Envy. Yeah, the benefit of envy is we feel good about ourselves. Right? Was that a hand, Dan, or you're just waving a pen? Pride? Yeah, and benefit of pride is, I think, kind of the same. I get to feel good about myself. It's about me, and there's all these benefits. So the second part of that is to renounce the benefit and say, Lord, I turn from that benefit. So, and this is fast, but we'll come back to this again. And believe. So repent. Repent and believe the good news. And believe, again, and this is in your handout if you're filling in, believe has two components to it as well. The first one is to understand. Understand who Jesus is, to know him. It's not enough to believe in something generic. It's not enough to believe in, and the Old Testament prophets go into this. There is, you know, why do you make idols out of wood and give them names and bow down and worship them? They have no power. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. But we believe and we understand who Jesus is part of the process, is knowing who he is. The second part is to trust. Believing is more than just understanding. It's placing our trust in Jesus. And so as we walk through that process, And like I say, I think we'll come back to this again. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, this is in my life. I know it's not good. I know it's not from you. It's pride. And I turn from those benefits. I renounce those benefits. I understand who you are. I understand what your word says. And I trust you. I place my trust in you. And I look to you to change me because I cannot change myself. And that's all part of surrender. Is that... Someone give me a nod that that made sense. Okay, good. Second, obedience becomes very core to all of this. James 1:25 says, but the man who looks intently into the law of liberty that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And the law of liberty kind of takes us to Romans 8:1. The law is designed to bring freedom, not condemnation. The law, Old Testament law, showed us what sin was. The law of liberty, the law of Christ, of grace, brings freedom. And Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't come to bring condemnation. And if we hear condemnation, that is not his voice. And the evil one loves to condemn. That is not of God. The Holy Spirit loves to convict so that it brings us into fellowship with him again. But Satan wants to condemn so that it takes us out of fellowship with God. Matthew 7:24-27, end of the Sermon on the Mount, and it just talks about those who do the will of God, who obey, build their house on a solid rock. Those who don't, it's on sand, and you can read that at home if you want. The prayer is often simply, yes, Lord. We complicate things. I complicate things. Lord, I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. Lord, you need to help me to do this. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. This doesn't feel comfortable to me. It's different. It's whatever. And sometimes it just needs to be, yes, Lord. Okay. I will trust you. I will rest in you. Yes, Lord. King Saul was sent to attack the Amalekites, which he did, and he was instructed to take nothing of plunder, to take none of their livestock, none of their animals, anything. And he did obey to attack, but he took their animals and took a lot of the property. And Samuel comes and talks to him, and he says this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. To obey is better than sacrifice. There has definitely been times in my life where I say, Lord, you know I messed up, but I'm going to do this for you. And I'm going to double my efforts, and I'm going to dedicate myself, and I'm going to sacrifice. And he just says, obey. This is what I have for you to do. And this is always a little scary, but I'm going to quiz Carl about something. Back to the obedience of a dog or a horse. How different is the obedience of a dog or a horse if they trust you compared to when they don't? I'm assuming that there's a difference. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. When does it show up the worst? When would it be the most noticeable?
In their lifeline?
In what situation?
Oh.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, in my mind, especially in a pressure situation, right? When something's going wrong, if the horse knows that you trust it, or it trusts you, you're not going to lead it astray. You go, okay. Or he goes, okay, I'll do that. And I think it's the same as we learn to trust God. It's in the pressure situations that as we trust him, we go, okay, I don't know what we're getting into here, Lord, but I know that you're good. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know that you're good. And I know that what you have for us is good. One of the things about a call is we talk about being called to pastor. We talk about being called at times to farm. We talk about being called to teach, possibly even. We maybe talk a little less about being called to mechanic. And even less yet about called to work at a lumber yard or called to be a mother. Although in all of those senses, it may be somewhat true that we talk about called and there's a truth to that. The call that God brings into our lives, however, is bigger than our career. And I honestly didn't try drawing this before. Can I draw a tent? How's that? All of what he calls us to, if we see this as God's call on our life, in that is career. It's really easy to think that we're called to a career and that's God's call on our life, especially if it's ministry oriented. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a teacher. And yet, if you look at Paul, he was a tent maker, but he was called beyond that, called to something bigger. Part of the trouble is if your call is your career and you can no longer do your career, what have you got? And even if you succeed in your career, you get to the end of it sometimes and you go, this all that there was? God's call is like a tent that envelops each part of our life. And so we can put in here career, we can put into here hobbies, we can put into here family, we can put into that, where's my list? I lost my list. Anything else that we have going on, our gifts, his desires to bring our sports activities, our entertainment, everything under this large tent of a call. Does that make it more scary or less scary? And again, just give me a nod if that makes sense and a this if that didn't. Okay? So in a sense, we come back to where we started. You and I cannot impress God by being good at our career. We cannot impress God by being good with our hobbies. We cannot impress him with how successful we are. He's not looking at us going, wow, you're rich. We can please him with our surrender and our obedience. And he gives us strength and he gives us grace for that, and we're not on our own. I want to finish, or for the most part here, with Philippians chapter 2. And from what I understand, this might have been a hymn or a song that they would have sang in the early church. 2 verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient. God exalted him for his glory, for his own glory. And that's what he would love to do in our lives. As we humble ourselves, he is the one that exalts as we become obedient. We trust him for that. It may not be in this life. That's a very good possibility, that he can glorify himself. So, what is our calling? Should I just leave that for next time? I don't know, is that a hint of mystery, or is it too... If you take a look, I'll tell you what. If you look at your outline, you might get some hints. Matthew 22, 37 to 40, if you want to read, go home and read that. What is our response to this for today? And I would invite you, we're going to, I'll call up Wendy and Noreen here right away, and Kathy, if you want to, I'm not sure how, anyway, either way. But we'll take a minute, and I wrote out a prayer. I'm not one for written prayers, but I put it in there as a guide if you desire it. And it just says, Lord, today I choose to humble myself before you and invite you to lead me in surrendering each part of my life to you. And so we'll take a moment of quiet, and if you want to pray that just in the quiet of your own heart, you go ahead. If not, there's no pressure. We're at different places at times, all times. And I invite you to pray that as I have a moment of silence, and I'll close in prayer and invite the worship people up to lead us in worship. Father, you are so good. And I kind of suspect that a large part of this is me needing to learn it. And so as I learn, hopefully others learn as well. Teach us, Father, to simply trust you, to trust you so deeply that we don't want to hesitate so much, but we trust you to lead us into that, into this walk with you that's deeper and farther than what we've gone before. In whatever way you need it to be, Holy Spirit, teach us and lead us. Thank you for this. Ask your blessing on each one as they seek your will, seek your ways in their lives. Just pray this all in Jesus' name.